I started reading some political philosophy recently, and it amazed me how many terms I'd heard a million times but never really thought about. I knew them by their connotations and by the context that they normally show up in, but if someone had asked me what any of them meant, my answer would have been very far from precise. Thinking of terms like radical, extremist, and reactionary, which are all applied to political groups at the edges of the spectrum, but whose meaning I've never really deeply contemplated. Later in the episode, I'll talk a little bit about why I've started looking at political philosophy and where it fits in with the rest of the channel. But for now, let's talk about the term radical. Radical comes from the Latin word radix, meaning root, which is very appropriate because political radicals are those who believe that there is something fundamentally wrong with the status quo. The problem goes to the very roots of the system, and it's from there that change needs to be created. Radicalism has usually been associated with the far left. In fact, when Marxist historians were trying to understand fascism, they were blind to its radicalism because in their eyes, only socialism could be radical. And so that's a very telling understanding of what radicalism is. When we think about those who want to change the system, we usually do think of the left. But it's this sort of looseness with terminology, where we lazily assign it to a particular group and then forget about its meaning, that makes these terms useless. They become tags we attach to certain groups, tribal markers, rather than insightful terms. But radical is a very important term for understanding today's political landscape. I can't think of any other term which captures so neatly the distressing spiral of American politics than the term radical. The first thing to understand about radicalism is that it has a negative and a positive side. On the negating side, radicals are anti-establishment. They believe that the current system is broken. The two big enemies shared by radicals of all stripes are bureaucracy and mainstream politicians. Radicals believe that the system is rotten to the core, and if we want to build a better world, we need to uproot this old system and start anew. Think about Trump's motto, drain the swamp, or the progressive left's movement to abolish the police. Though they are coming from opposite sides of the political spectrum, the Republican base and the far left share a hatred for the system as it is today. They think the system is beyond saving and so we need to start again. Complementing this negative side, radicals have a positive vision of how things should be. The positive vision of the far right, whether that's Trump or the mid-20th century fascists, lies in the past. Mussolini wanted to get back to the ancient Romans, and Trump wants to make America great again. Their positive vision is a return to a glorious former state. The left-wing radicals, however, have dreams of a never-before-seen utopia. Marx was not a man that wanted to go back. He was a big fan of capitalist modernity. As a Hegelian developmental thinker, Marx believes that this capitalist modernity would inevitably evolve into a communist utopia. And so he celebrated the success of capitalism across the world as the distant dawn of communism. First, the workers would seize the means of production and the state, and eventually this state would wither away into an anarchist paradise where each would give according to their ability and receive according to their need. Anarchists have a similar vision, only it's not usually seen in Hegelian terms as an inevitability of history, and they aren't so keen to have the middle phases of a new type of domination. The 20th century has provided a number of examples of where this middle phase can go a bit awry. What these left-wing radicals share is a vision of a better future. It is this future we are working so hard to progress towards. Like the right-wing radicals, they see a better future, but unlike the right, they see this future as something we progress towards rather than return to. Both are looking to cut this system up at the roots, but the roots they are trying to plant in place of the status quo are very different. This anti-establishment worldview brings about other shared traits between left-wing and right-wing radicals. One of these is the idea of mobilization. There's a lot of common sense to this connection. If you think that the system is fundamentally flawed and in need of change, then it makes sense that if you want to have any hope of changing it, you are going to need to be organized. This is something we are very familiar with in left-wing politics. The Black Lives Matter protests and the global climate strike are part of a long lineage of radical grassroots mobilization on the left-wing end of the spectrum. Right-wing radicalism has a different flavor. in the interwar years of the 20th century, the black shirts in Italy and the brown shirts in Germany were paramilitary groups that made the rise of fascism in Europe possible. The past few decades have seen the rise of paramilitary groups in the US. There's a lot of support for Trump among these groups, and there have even been clashes between these militia and left-wing protesters in the last few years. Many members of these groups were involved in the storming of the US Capitol building on the 6th of January 2021. This militia mobilization isn't just a part of the right wing, but groups like the Black Panthers and the US Organization were radical leftist paramilitary groups in the US in the 60s and 70s. And other leftist militias played a key part in the communist revolutions across the world in the 20th century. And over the past 3 years, we've seen a sort of radical leftist militia in Antifa clash in the streets of Portland against the radical right militia groups like the Proud Boys and Patriot Prayer. Bottom line is, when the establishment isn't on your side, then you have to organize your own counter-movement to stand against the highly organized, totalizing system. This applies to both left and right-wing radicals. This term radical is critical for understanding the political landscape we're living in today, and so it seemed worthwhile to make a short episode on it to clarify what I understand by the term so it can be referred back to in future videos. Going forward, I want to integrate a bit more political philosophy into the channel. I've been reflecting recently on the defining arc of what the channel is. After 2.5 years, the direction of the living philosophy is still something that's emerging for me. I'm beginning to see some dots clicking together, but in a way, this channel is an exercise in individuation. I'm trying to understand the world we are living in and try to empathize with the various points of view that are clashing in the world today. I've ended up making a lot of episodes in a lot of different territories, from nihilism and existentialism to veganism, conspiracy theories, and metamodernism. Coming to realize that the topics that draw me back again and again orbit the so-called meta-crisis, the mega-crisis composed of many sub-crises that's going on in our culture today. And two crises in particular keep coming back to me: the meaning crisis of nihilism and the sense-making crisis of the culture wars. Recently, I've been discovering that these issues are not separate. And I've come to realize that you can't talk about the culture wars without talking about political philosophy. So, in trying to figure out these crises and how they interact with each other, I've realized that we need to wade into the waters of political philosophy. And so, this episode marks the beginning of this dabbling. Over the next few months, we're going to have at least one more terminological episode on the term reactionary. But I also want to explore the limitations of the left-right spectrum, what fascism is, and what Marx was all about. Sure, there will be more beyond these, but these are just the initial peaks that are jumping out at me, and I just thought I'd give a brief introduction in these closing remarks so you have some idea of what's going on. Politics isn't going to become the centre of the channel, but yeah, I'm still working on an episode on Victor Turner's idea of liminality from anthropology and a few other things. But yeah, politics is just going to be a part of the mix of the living philosophy going forward. That's everything for this episode of The Living Philosophy. I'd like to thank David Pilibosian, Stephen Bartlett Fan, Ibiso Feyisa, and all the other patrons for their support of the channel. If you'd like to get access to weekly bonus episodes, monthly Q&A, and get your name in the credits like these fine people, then you can head over to Patreon. As ever, if you have any thoughts, insights, or feedback, I'd love to hear from you down in the comments. Otherwise, I shall see you next time. Thank you for watching.